honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere, on the air and online, by Provident Payments, one of the fastest-growing payment consultants in America. Connect today at providentpayments.com.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and a special VJ Day edition of the program marking 78 years since the relief, the elation, the long-awaited end of hostilities in World War II. One of the most fascinating VJ Day accounts we've heard over the years on Hometown Heroes revolves around the last bombing mission of the war and the alternate version of history it may have prevented. We'll hear about that from one of the pilots of the last B-29 to drop its bombs on that final assignment. But let's lead into it with the events from 8 days earlier. Our most recent episode of Hometown Heroes featured the last surviving member of the squadron that dropped the atomic bombs. They were flying from Tinian while Roger Jensen operated off of Guam. And he saw something out the cockpit window of his B-29 called Horrible Monster that no one had ever seen before.
On August the 6th, Colonel Tippetts and his aircraft, the Nola Gay, was stationed at Tinian and dropped the first bomb. And we were returning from a mission from Japan when they dropped that bomb, and we saw that the smoke and debris in the from where we had dropped our bombs, of course, at a different location.
Right.
We were headed home, but... but we could, we failed, you know, and so then we said, look over there, and there was all that debris, that smoke and stuff.
And you didn't know what that was, right?
No, we didn't know at that point.
So that had to be, I'm just assuming you'd never seen an explosion cloud like that before.
No. But it was announced to us before we got back to Guam that it was an atomic bomb, and boy, we were elated to think that we did have the atomic bomb and had been authorized to utilize it. The Japanese didn't respond with any surrender, and it was about 3 or 4 days later dropped at Nagasaki.
Mm-hmm.
And then after Nagasaki, we were assigned to fly another mission, even though that we wondered certainly they would surrender. I mean, they had been offered. And so they assigned us to fly a mission to northern Hokkaido, which would be the longest bombing mission we had from the Marianas by the 29s that had been flown. We were assigned to be in that group to fly that mission. So we put on extra fuel, and we weighed more than we ever had on any other mission. We had to reduce our bomb load to accommodate additional fuel to be able to fly that extra distance. One of the weaknesses of B-29 was the engines weren't good, and so we'd lose some planes because they just couldn't get off, just couldn't get going. And our airfield that we had on Guam was situated so that at the end of the runway, there was a cliff. And from that top of that cliff to the ocean was about 75 feet. And so as soon as we got to the edge, we went down, to get speed up to fly. And so we were in the number two position to take off that day. We were right behind the theater. And as we started down the runway, there was two runways we used, and there was a plane that would take off every minute on each runway. So there was a plane taking off every 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And there was probably 125 or 50 planes destined to fly that mission. Well, we had an engine that was not operating correctly as we started down the runway, so we aborted and went back to our stand. And so we said, well, we guess we don't fly that mission. But the ground crew got it fixed. And by the time they got it fixed, the last plane that had taken off for the mission was about 15 or 20 minutes anyway. And so we asked them, do we take off or do we stay here? It's up to you. If you want to stay, okay. If you want to go, go. We said to go. So we went, and So we were the last plane to take off. So we were the last plane to drop that bomb load. And that bomb load was dropped. We dropped our bombs less than an hour before Herr Hayato accepted unconditional surrender. And so we were the last plane, because of that situation of our takeoff time, to be the last plane to drop bombs in that mission, which was the longest mission that was flown, combat mission out of Marianas in World War II. We were the last plane to drop the bomb on Japanese land. So we got word about an hour after we had dropped that bomb that Herr Hayato had accepted the surrender.
So you're on your way back. And for people to understand, when you say the longest mission, so you're going from Guam all the way to the northern end of Japan.
Which was Hokkaido was is the area. It was the last only oil-producing drilling field that Japan had. That was the reason for the mission, they said. We found out different later, but that's what they told us.
Well, there's a lot you found out later, and I want to touch on that. But so we understand how long this was. How many hours?
17 hours is the longest mission. We were 17 hours from takeoff to landing.
That's a long time. But you're on the way back from dropping your bombs, and you hear on the radio Japan has surrendered?
Yeah.
That's a pretty unique place to be to get that news.
It's a good place to be any place when you get that kind of news in that circumstances. So everybody on the crew went to sleep, except me. I never did sleep on the plane. I mean, other people could sleep when after we dropped the planes and headed back home. And, you know, it was tired. Our average mission was about 12 hours, 12 to 13 hours. Mm-hmm. But this one was 17, and so I just didn't feel comfortable about sleeping, and so they could always figure I'd be going. And had a wonderful crew and a flight engineer. All of our crew members were well-experienced people. They weren't recruits, so it was really wonderful you have that kind of support and ability that that you had in your crew. And so anyway, that was the experience we had up to the time of surrender. Then what happened during that last mission at the Imperial Palace, we didn't know about that. That was secret information and was never divulged for 40 years. And at the end of 40 years, we were told what happened at the Imperial Palace during up to the surrender deal, that we were so effective, were part of that, not knowing it, for 40 years.
So for 40 years, you know you have the distinction of being the last crew on the last mission of the war.
Yeah.
But you don't know that without you guys flying over Tokyo, that the surrender might not have happened.
Yeah.
What did they tell you 40 years later?
Well, they didn't tell us anything. I mean, it was just made public or made available. The radio operator on my first crew wrote the book, The Last Mission, Jim Smith, and he wrote the first book on what happened on that last mission.
So help us understand the significance of that, of why the path of your mission actually affected whether or not the surrender happened.
Well, the radar system that Japan had picked up the fact that here were B-29s coming in towards Tokyo. They were afraid we were going to drop, another atomic bomb on Tokyo or on the Imperial Palace even. What they did then, they blacked out the whole area, including the Imperial Palace and so forth. All of the personnel of the Imperial Palace, including the Emperor, were in the dark, and most of them were in shelters. Herr Hayato had decided that he would accept unconditional surrender, but he never talked to these people directly. It was always recorded. He'd record, and they'd play the recording, but he never would personally talk to these people.
Would never be a live broadcast. It was done ahead of time.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And so the recording that was made of the surrender was done at early evening. There was a group of the high command group of Japan that didn't agree with the emperor about surrendering. They wanted to keep on going. And so they figured that if they got a hold of that recording that was down in someplace in the Imperial Palace, they could destroy that and the people wouldn't know about it. And they would hold the emperor under control. Prison, I guess you'd say, or under arrest, so to speak. Being that they had to block out, there was only light they had was flashlights they could use. And they tried to find that. Often they tried to go to the radio station where it was recorded to the people, and they didn't know where it was. And others that did know didn't tell them. I mean, they just didn't tell you. So they did capture the Imperial Palace personnel and imprisoned them, separated them out so that his message wouldn't go out to his people. Well, there was two groups, and so the group that wanted to surrender were strong enough to avoid the other group that wanted to keep on under control. So they lost their support, and the leaders of that committed suicide at that point. So at daybreak, shortly thereafter, I believe, the recording was put out, and it was unknown whether the people would accept what the emperor said. And one of the conditions that the surrender did offer was that Hirohito would not be killed. But anyway, he made they played the recording, and the people of Japan accepted what he said. Just amazing how he could control those many people of something that was so adverse to what he was asking them to do.
Yeah, because up till then, it had been an honor to die for the emperor.
Yeah, that's right.
He was a divine figure.
Afterwards, we found out they had a lot of kamikaze planes that they had stored. Some of these people just thought they could beat us with those kamikazes. And interestingly enough, years later, when I was out of the service and in business and selling merchandise that I'd raised in Japan, I was dealing with a person over there when I was over there selling citrus. We talked a little bit about that, the surrender and so on. He says, well, I was a kamikaze pilot.
Really?
Yeah, and here was a guy just like you and I were sitting and doing business with, a nice guy. And I says, how come you would agree to that? He says, that was an honor to die. He says, there's no question of you. You just don't turn that down. Anyway, back to the surrender. It was totally accepted. There wasn't an active resistance to the emperor's surrender.
But if we add it all up, if you and all those other B-29s hadn't been flying that mission, which some people might say, hey, it was unnecessary, they're already going to surrender, you don't need to get that oil field.
Okay.
But if you didn't, those guys might have been successful in stopping the recording from being played, right?
Could have been, yeah. And Russia was supporting Japan, and yet Stalin was with Churchill and Truman, and Russia wanted, in the spoils of the thing, to have part of Japan, particularly up the areas where we, up in northern Hokkaido. But we didn't know that. We found that out later. But that's the reason that we had that mission, was to keep Russia from getting that when we knew that Japan was going to surrender. We didn't want Russia to have that property up there.
So it wasn't so much to take the oil away from the Japanese, it was to keep the USSR's hands off of it.
Yeah. Well, and off of the land.
Right.
See, they owned up to it. They were just going to expand their ownership of properties.
When you learned all of this 40 years later about that unknown consequence of that last mission, was that kind of mind-blowing for you?
Yeah, it was. It made sense to us after they told us about that. But we had no idea about why that happened. So that was, there was nothing heroic about that. It was just part of the deal.
What a story, and what a man. Roger Jensen will celebrate his 103rd birthday next month. But on August 14th, 2023, he joins the rest of us in remembering a day that should not be forgotten. Victory over Japan, yes. The conclusion of the most devastating conflict in world history, absolutely. But also, the chance to set a new course for the world, to pursue a new vision. That mission remains unfulfilled almost 8 decades later, but perhaps we can have an influence on that. Thanks for listening to Hometown Heroes. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.
To let Paul know about a veteran in your life, visit hometownheroesradio.com and click on Suggest a Veteran. Today's program has been brought to you by Provident Payments. Give your business the edge only their personalized service can deliver at providentpayments.com.